Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 247-7282.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins into the studio this morning for Life and Taxes. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
When we last left last Thursday, we said, well, probably next Thursday, there could be some sort of deal that Congress and the White House have worked out. And both groups didn't work anything out.
Didn't work anything out.
White House tried to do something in an executive order fashion with the payroll tax, but nothing came to a conclusion.
Yeah, nothing
yet.
Much there.
Yet.
So, you know, what I'll say is that we've speculated the last 2 weeks, and we're just going to let it take its course at this point in
time.
We
have no choice,
Andrew.
And
then we will report back when we have something definitive. It's just kind of sad that we can't get a final bill passed. But, you know, that's Congress and that's an election year and that's just the way things go at
and
this point.
They didn't like they're real close either. There's
exactly.
A pretty wide gulf between the two proposals.
And when you won't
have
people willing to do piecemeal bills and not put, an omnibus bill together that includes all the facets.
Yeah.
That's tough. Cause, at least, hey, we got common ground on the stimulus, for instance, stimulus payments. Let's go ahead and pass that. Nope. They won't let it happen. So, it's going to be
all or nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And a long journey to try to get there.
Yeah.
So the good news is, Mike, is that you're going to get to wield a gavel today.
Oh, good.
So I've been looking for some cases. You know, the court system is still operating here in North Carolina, albeit a little bit slower than normal. But I do think that this is actually a pretty good one because it's a Court of Appeals case, and it's actually out of Beaufort County.
Oh, good.
So, so this will be good. It's Smith v. Smith, which is also – I didn't just make those names up. It's actually Smith v. Smith,
sure.
So it's pretty
it's
fun
a common
there,
name.
Too.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think before we get into it, we need to give our listeners a little bit of background information, okay, because this deals with a power of attorney.
Okay.
A durable power of attorney.
Durable power of attorney.
So durable power of attorney, what does that mean? That means the individual that you elect to make your financial decisions if you're unable to do so.
Okay.
So you appoint, a lot of people appoint their spouses, if they have a spouse. If they don't have a spouse, you look to who's the next closest to you, possibly a child, adult child. And what we always stress is you better have some, real trust and real faith in this individual, because once you execute that power of attorney, whatever you list in that power of attorney that individual is able to do, they have, freedom to do it. Now, what's the caveat there? The caveat is that it has to be for the benefit of the individual that signs the document. So, Mike, if I name you as my power of attorney, it doesn't mean that Mike can just go out there and go, hey,
free
I got
money.
Andrew's money.
Yeah, here
let's
we go.
Let's go crazy. Let's go to Vegas. That's just not the way this works. There's what's called a fiduciary duty between you and I, meaning that you have to act in my best interests or else you can be held accountable. And that is the general nature of a power of attorney, and that's what you need to know as far as background goes for this particular case.
Okay.
The other thing we need to know is just one simple standard of law, summary judgment. So summary judgment means that there is no genuine issue of material fact. So we have a summary judgment motion in this one that it's a dispositive motion of the case, because if the judge finds that there is no genuine issue of material fact on these particular issues and you cannot therefore meet the burden to state your claim, your case gets booted. It's basically the best in layman's terms. That's exactly what happens during a motion for summary judgment.
Okay.
All right. So we got Smith v. Smith, and who are the Smiths at play here? We've got Carter Smith, who is the grandchild of our decedent Ruth Smith. And we've got Charles Smith, who is the son, the only son of Ruth Smith. And so Ruth Smith, back in 2007, and again, facts here are fairly straightforward. In 2007, Ruth executed a power of attorney and named what? Her son, her only son Charles. Is her attorney, in fact. And then in that same year, Ruth and Charles opened a joint account with right of survivorship. And Charles had access to this money. And Charles could move around money into accounts, and he did transfer a substantial amount of Ruth's funds from her individual accounts into this joint account, which means that it would pass to him upon her death. Okay, that's what joint right of survivorship means. And he spent a portion of Ruth's funds on his own expenses. So, here he is. I got this bill. I'm going to take mom's money, and I'm going to use it to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what he continued to do all the way up until 2011 when Ruth died.
Okay.
Ruth died. She actually had a holographic will, which means that she handwrote her will. Still valid in North Carolina law. Got to have some expert. Got to have some witnesses as to the handwriting. But all that was done. It was probated, and basically her estate was divided equally between her son Charles and grandchild, who is Carter.
Carter.
Yep. And so, what do you think that Carter said? Carter looks at this and goes, "Wait a minute! I thought Grandma had a lot more money than what you're showing here."
That's how Charles got the new F-150.
So Charles in 2016, Carter in 2016, so grandchild files a complaint against Charles and starts asserting the claims that we would assert, which is constructive fraud, breach of fiduciary duty, actual fraud. Negligent misrepresentation, intentional infliction of inheritance, constructive trust. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Conversion, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you didn't use mom's money in the way that was correct.
Right.
Okay. And so we go and we have a hearing on this, and it's a summary judgment hearing, and it's actually before Judge Foster, I think no relation to me, in Beaufort County Superior
Who knows
Court.
Who knows though,
Andrew? I know, it could be. Yeah. In Beaufort County Superior Court. And the summary judgment motion was basically, can these claims meet muster? Is this case going to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Foster ultimately ruled that he granted summary judgment for Charles. So he granted summary judgment for the child in this particular matter and said, sorry, Carter, good try.
Mm-hmm.
You tried to assert that, Charles didn't use mom's money properly in this particular case, but we're not going to allow this case to move forward. So what does Carter do?
He appeals.
He appeals.
Okay.
Yeah, he appeals. And so here we are, and we're one issue under the Court of Appeals, and it's whether Charles, the son, improperly transferred Ruth's assets to himself and others while he was acting as her power of attorney. So real straightforward issue here that we've got before the Court of Appeals. And it comes down to whether or not the language in the power of attorney allowed him to do the things that he was doing. And so what happened is we've got the battle of the evidence here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So at the Court of Appeals, we've got the battle of the evidence. And what was Charles's evidence that he did the right thing by mom? Charles's evidence was that he attested. He said, oh, look, I'm going to sign an affidavit and I'm going to say I did. But that my mom both knew and approved of the transfers and expenditures. And then he had other affidavits from other individuals state that the gifts were in accordance with Ruth's pattern of giving, and that Ruth was a mentally sharp and alert businesswoman, and she was aware of every monetary decision and would never allow anyone to take advantage of her. So he has several individuals, four or five individuals, sign affidavits, and this is basically the tone of what they say, that Ruth had capacity, Ruth knew exactly what she was doing, Charles didn't take advantage of her, and therefore the expenditures were approved. What is the grandchild's evidence? The grandchild's evidence is that Charles admitted in the discovery section of the file that not all the transfers of money that were made from Ruth's accounts were gifts from Ruth. That's one thing he said.
Yeah.
He said number two, he said that that some of the money was not made to compensate him for services that were rendered. And also, he did not deposit any money in these accounts. This was all mom's money. This was not son's money.
Didn't
commingle. So it was just mom's money we're talking about. And also, there were numerous instances, which he admitted to, where he withdrew money from Ruth's accounts to cover his own expenses and those of his family members. And then he just said, I can't remember. That was a while ago. I have no idea what that money was for, and I'm not quite sure what I used it for. But yeah, it was used to pay for my expenses and those of my family members. So there's your evidence, Judge Mike.
This doesn't take that long.
We have a trial court here.
Yeah.
That has ruled in favor of the son, Charles.
Yeah.
Now we're at the Court of Appeals level, and you can see the balancing. We've got affidavits saying, oh, wait, Ruth knew everything she was doing. Charles would have never taken advantage of her. He was a good son. And then we've got the other side, which is, hey, look, there's instances here where Charles can't explain where the money went.
Exactly.
And then we've got instances where, where he admits, I didn't put any money into mom's account, yet I was using mom's money.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't prove that it was for her benefit what he was doing. All right, Judge Mike, you're on the North Carolina Court of Appeals. You're sitting there. We've already got a ruling from a sitting Superior Court judge, so we try to protect our judges a little bit. But what do you think in this case?
I think they reversed the call made by the Superior Court, and they rule in favor of the grandchild, Carter, for the fiduciary responsibility. This guy's just dipping in there. Hey, here's the Spectrum cable bill. Grandma, take it out of here. Hey, here's some money for whatever. Oh, here's some money from mother. He was just dipping into it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
So Judge Mike is correct. The Court of Appeals did reverse and say, hey, look, let's send this back down for a jury trial.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a jury trial on these particular matters, and I think it's important. I think a couple lessons we can learn here. Number one is your power of attorney that you appoint, very important position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here we go. We appointed our only child. Seems like a logical pick. Guess what happened?
Yeah.
Maybe he took advantage of mom. We're not quite sure if he did or not, but it doesn't smell quite right, some of the stuff that he was doing, especially given the fact that her will divides everything 50-50 between son and grandchild.
Right.
And then he ends up getting the bulk of the estate through just transfers made under the power of attorney. Just doesn't look right. Paying his own expenses, not great. The other thing is that look at this, Mike. I mean, litigation ensues, you know, big time. This thing we're talking about, she died in 2011. This case was decided a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, 9 years.
So, yeah. So, I mean, think about how long this thing is drawn out. So, individuals, you know, make sure you get your planning done properly and you get good advice on the front end so you don't find yourself in this situation. However, if you do, good lawyer here by Carter, you know, by the grandchild.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Did not take no as an answer at the trial
court level.
Superior
court level, yeah.
Yeah, superior court level. That's exactly right. Said, we're going to push this forward. So in the event that, you know, you have a case like this, realize it's a marathon, not a sprint. And sometimes you have to go up and get the correct decision, which is exactly what Carter's lawyer did in this particular regard, which is what we do at Harbell and Collins.
Yeah, and it starts right at the beginning at the planning stage. We get a lot of that conversation with Cecil Harbell and Wes Collins on our Let's Talk Legal show on Tuesday, getting durable power of attorney. We talk about that at length, and it continues to be, needs to be reinforced, the importance of that. Thank you, Andrew. If you'd like to reach Andrew Foster, you can go to harvellandcollins.com for more information or call 726-9050 here in Morehead City. Thanks, Andrew.